Well, hello, I welcome you again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you for joining in today and caring enough about your Lord that you would honor His Word and study with us. Today we're going to be going back into our study of the questions often asked, and the question that we're on is, what about sexes, sexual love, and sexual perversion? We've progressed down through our study and have gotten down to where we're defining the actual garbage can part of what sex and what sexual perversion of the divided have come to in society and around the world now. And we gave a short definition of all of these that the Bible lists a lot more sins of the flesh, but a lot of them are not sexual oriented. But the ones that we're particularly talking about have to do with the sexed, male and female, the divided. And we talked about adultery. We're going to talk about prostitution and incest, homosexuality, lesbianism, sodomy, and bestiality, and then finally, fornication. And we'll move on into our next question after that. We've gotten into the garbage can part of it, like I said, because it's exactly what all this is in the eyes of the Lord and in His nostrils also. He talks about things being a stench to Him and being an abomination to Him. And a lot of times when the Lord speaks in His Word about abominations, it has to do with these very things that we're talking about, adultery. And that's what we're on right now. And I wanted to tell you something. The last recording was pretty long, and I have no problem with that, but I don't want to keep y'all forever. When I started out these things, I wanted to make them about 30 minutes long, and that went for about the first letter, and it ended up being right around 60 minutes or an hour or something like that, and I figure that's about right, and you know, I mean, for you all of us to sit down and enjoy God's Word and learn something and take our time and not have to be rushed. But I'm gonna try not to get into lengthy things like that. So with the scriptures that I'm giving you, not to minimize the importance of the scriptures ever, but these real long, maybe 20 verses or 30 verses of scripture in a chapter or something like that. I'm just going to give you the verse, and I might read one verse of that, but I'm going to give you the entire, at the end of it, I'm going to give you the entire, all of it. You know, like for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, like we did last week, but it was verse 7 through 20. And instead of reading all those verses, I just try to read the main one that's hitting on the subject of what we're talking about, and then give you the entire verses, or the rest of them, like verse 7 through 20, and then you can go back and read them. Not that I don't want to read them to you. I'd be happy to read them to you, and I'd be happy to go through all of that, but I think we're just going to do it that way. And that's in no way to dishonor the Lord or to take anything away from God, the importance of God's Word. God's Word is everything. That's what we choose first on this study. And it always will be, or this study will not be. If you don't have God's Word and you don't have the truth, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus was the Word before He became flesh. He is God's Word. And it became flesh and dwelt among us. And then when Jesus left, He had the men write down His written Word in script. And that's what we have with us today. And so we're going to go on back into adultery. In adultery, we began to talk about that from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 29. We talked about the definitions of adultery. And then we went on down through there and we talked about the results of the sin of adultery. And we went back as we moved down through there. We talked about the forgiveness of adultery. And No, we didn't talk about that. That's where we stopped. We stopped right there. Okay, so that's where we're going to pick up today is the forgiveness of adultery. Can adultery be forgiven? Of course it can. There's all kinds of examples of adultery being forgiven in the scriptures. And we have also here the forgiveness of adultery. We have also here that we're going to have to see some examples of adultery in the scriptures that God did forgive. Other than the nation of Israel, and the Lord did forgive them many times of adultery that he accused them of and they were guilty of. I don't remember, not off the top of my head, there might have been one, but I don't remember anybody that the Lord did not forgive for adultery if they got it right with him and they'd done what they're supposed to do, whether they were under works and faith or whether they were just under grace or whatever. If they did it the way that God said to do it and they fixed the thing, then it got fixed and the Lord forgot it. And he'll do the same for you. We're in the age of grace. And under the dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God. And I tell you what, people talk about wanting to live in the Old Testament, talk about what the tribulation is going to be like and how God's rules are going to be there, and talk about during the millennium and how God's rules are going to be there and everything. Oh, you people living today, you got it better than anybody. You got it better than anybody. Salvation by grace through faith, with nothing added, nothing taken away. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people nowadays, and that's why sin is just rampant and running nuts and crazy. People are just doing, they're just being ignorant as they can and stupid as they can because of God's grace. Because of God's grace, God's not punishing people right this very second as with the punishment that they're going to get and what they deserve for their deeds. But it's all being recorded. And the Lord's taking it down, and if people's not going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Lord's going to deal with them as enemies. And that's it. But the easiest way to get saved, the easiest way to be saved and be saved for eternity and have eternal life is going on right this very second in this dispensation. It don't take anything to get saved. All it takes is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon his name. That's what the Bible says. If you're not saved, I pray that by the end of this program or while you're listening to these, that you'll consider that, and not only consider it, but that you'll do it, and you'll ask the Lord to save you. All you have to do is just recognize that you're a sinner, and anybody that says they're not a sinner is a liar, and they sin right then, because we all know that we're sinners. If a man says that he's not a sinner, he's deceiving himself, and the Bible says that. And if he thinks that he's good enough to go to heaven on his own righteousness, he's a fool there too. Because we all know in our hearts, and we know in our minds, and we know in the secret parts of the compartments of our heart what we are. You can fix everything in your life you want to fix, and then the Lord will reach down in that heart and open up another compartment, and out comes some black goo that you never thought you could be part of. Yep. But being born again and having Jesus' righteousness on us rather than our own righteousness, and he nails our sins and nails our flesh to the cross along with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are born again and we are born into the family of God, and that's forever. You can't be taken out of it. Now, that's according to what the Bible says. So, having to do with adultery, adultery can be forgiveness, the forgiveness of adultery. Well, let's see what it says. And we'll look right here. Forgiveness of adultery is, first of all, by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She saith, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and sin no more. Did you get that? Doesn't that, that all make you shiver inside? You know how you just, the thing, make the hair stand up on your arms and your legs. That the Lord would just instantly forgive something like that. And he said, excuse me, where are your accusers? And she said, they're not here, Lord, they left. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go. And he put a little tag on the end of that, and sin no more. In other words, you're forgiven, but don't spit in God's face. Don't think that he's going to forgive you and not notice that you just going to spit in his face and go ahead and do everything, keep on doing everything, because God don't take that kind of stuff. You can't manipulate him. When God forgives you, he forgives you, man. It's done. It's forgiven. But if you think that you're going to get forgiveness for God when, with the intentions in your heart that you're going to go back and do your little nasties, you got another thing coming. But we don't want forgiveness from the Lord like that. We want the kind of forgiveness that the Lord gives ought to cause a change in your heart about things to where you don't want to be a sinner anymore. To where you begin to hate the things where you sin against the Lord. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There's some sins that so easily beset us that we battle with even when we're walking just as straight as we can walk for the Lord and being acceptable in his sight and living under grace, and that we're not, that we're free. We're free from sin. We don't have to worry about sin and the penalty of sin anymore. The only thing we have to do is just walk in the Spirit and we'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. But whenever we're caught by surprise, anytime a Christian sins, he ought to be caught by surprise. It ought to be a surprise to you that you sin. And anytime somebody that's walking as a Christian sins, it breaks your heart. Because you love the Lord that you're sinning against. And you know that he's forgiven you for that a bazillion times. And he'll forgive you a bazillion and one time. But it ought to break our hearts for us to sin against the Lord. But he says, go and sin no more. And when he says that, he's not saying that in an order. He's saying that in a graceful manner. In other words, and neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more now. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ gave forgiveness for sins. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7 through 14, that's one of the verses that is that 7 through 14. Well, let me just go ahead and read it. That's 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 through 14. We find that forgiveness, the forgiveness of adultery is by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also by repentance. By repentance. You know, if you're not going to say you're sorry, most of the time it's not possible for you to be forgiven. I mean, just think about your own kid. You're sitting there and you know they've done wrong. They know they've done wrong. They're standing there face to face with their accuser and their brother or sister, and they're there, and you say you're sorry, and he just puts his hands in a folding motion, pooches out his lips, and I said you say you're sorry, and he, I'm sorry. No, say it like you mean it. I mean, you do that to your own children. And the offense doesn't go away, even though they're your child and you forgive them. The offense doesn't go away until the apologies are made, until repentance has come about. Society doesn't know anything about repentance. They think repentance is sissified. They laugh at it and mock it. But it's necessary. If you think that that people are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in the end at the white throne judgment and they're not going to bow the knee to him, them angels are going to kick them in the back of the leg and say, get down. You're standing before the Son of God. And they're going to be, Moses said that when he was in the presence of God, he said he exceedingly feared and trembled. And these idiots are just so proud that they won't say they're sorry. You know, there's people in this world today, even Christians in this world today, that are walking around and they've been 30 and 40 and 50 years and all they have to do to fix something is just say, I'm sorry. Or to repent. or to tell God you're sorry about something. The Bible said if we confess our sins, you're already forgiven for everything. The Lord did that on the cross. But to keep things right and keep relationships right and keep circumstances right and keep your heart right and keep your mind right and keep your conscience right, there has to be confession. You have to admit it. The Lord said, if we confess our sins, if you go to the point to where you'll say to the Lord, I did this, and Lord, I'm not trying to get around it, and you just tell Him exactly what you did, your heart will clean up. You'll feel your heart clean right up. Your conscience, the guilt will go away, and the Lord will get rid of the guilt. But as long as you're going to carry it around and try to hide it, you're going to have the guilt. The Lord has said that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's already forgiven them as far as the penalty of it, but the power of the sin that's got a hold of you and keeping you and making a prisoner out of you. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He not only cleanses you from that, but He cleanses you completely from everything. And you start right back going again. Cleanses your conscience, takes away the guilt. But adultery, the forgiveness of adultery is by repentance. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we're going to get this read. It says, and Nathan said unto David, you remember this is King David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, and this is the part that we're talking about, David said unto Nathan immediately. He wasn't stupid. He knew that he was guilty. And this was a king. He's talking to the king. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. See, the penalty in Israel for adultery, remember we read that earlier, was that both of them die. The man and the woman are put to death. But see, the Lord forgave David. He put David's sin away because David repented, and He forgave him for that, but yet it cost him. It cost him. You see, we have to pay for the sins in the flesh. You forget that. That's why the Lord encourages us to confess. Not only encourages, but orders us, commands us to confess our sins to Him and get that thing cleared up, so He doesn't have to impose judgment on us for walking around with a proud heart and being in the family of God and walking around in this world showing, shaming the Lord Jesus Christ with your behavior. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemy of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And we know that David and Bathsheba, because of that act, where they committed adultery, and David murdered her husband, that they had a child because of that. And when the child was born, the Lord took it and killed it and brought it on to heaven and did not give them the privilege of having that child for punishment, for doing that. That was His punishment. But is David in heaven? Yes, he's in heaven. His sins forgiven? Yes, his sins are forgiven. Did he repent? Yes, he repented. But now we know that was works and faith under the law. We're under grace. We are born again by faith through grace. And the Lord tells us that what we have to do is confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The difference in forgiveness in this age and in the age of works and grace is that if you didn't repent in the age of works and grace, then you lost your salvation. But in our age, it's not, if you don't repent, then you're in the family of God. It's like you're part of the family, and as far as the penalty of sin, as far as hell is concerned, that's taken care of when you're born again and you're brought into the family of God. But now you're in the family of God and you have responsibilities to the Lord because he's your father. And he takes his fatherhood very seriously. And if you start misbehaving and showing out and getting in the flesh and acting stupid in this world, in front of the world, and blaspheming the name, and giving great occasion for the enemies to blaspheme the Lord, saying, look at that, he's supposed to be a Christian, he's supposed to be a son of God, and look at him, he does the same thing, blah, 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 that we do. And blasphemes the Lord and blasphemes his word and his name, then the Lord will give you a whooping that you'll never forget. And a lot of people don't take that seriously or listen to that until the Lord pulls the strap out and drags you around behind the barn. And once he gives you that whooping, you're going to understand that the Lord loves you and he's your father and he takes it very seriously, you being in his family. And you're not allowed to misbehave. Whole different scenario under works and under grace. It's a family-oriented deal. It's a family situation whenever we sin now. But we do see that adultery can be forgiven. There is forgiveness for adultery by the Lord Jesus Christ and by repentance. By repentance. The Bible says, and there's another one, forgiveness of adultery is by being born again. If there's adultery in your past and you are born again, you are forgiven for that. You're forgiven for all your sins once you're born again. The Bible says so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, or thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, he named all of those adultery, fornication, and all that trash can filth of the flesh that you was involved in, and you run around acting crazy, doing all this junk, and then after you got saved, it says, and such were some of you. Past tense. It's over with. I ain't that way no more. I don't want to be that way anymore. I'm in the family of God now. It's hard. Yes, it's hard. It's a battle. Because you still got that flesh attached to you, and that flesh didn't get saved. Your soul got saved. And your spirit got regenerated. But your flesh is still filthy, and it's going back to the grave where God said it was. But right now you're just carrying it around, and you're fighting that flesh, and it still wants to be a drunkard. It still wants to be a reviler. It still wants to be covetous and thieves and abusers of itself and effeminate and adulterers and idolaters and wants to fornicate. That flesh wants to do all that. And such were some of you. What's he saying? He's saying, you don't be that way no more because you're washed now. You've been washed. Your sins are forgiven. You're on your way to heaven. You're in the family of God. But you're sanctified. You've been cleaned up. And you're being cleaned up, but ye are justified. In other words, God don't remember your sins no more. It's thrown out of court. You're not going to court to be sentenced as an enemy of God now. You're going to stand before Jesus to be rewarded for what you did for him in the flesh. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Is there forgiveness for adultery? Of course there is. Of course there is. But it's not a case to where it's just forgotten. Well, let's just forget this, that it never happened, and pretend that it never happened. God don't forget until it's taken care of. When the Lord forgives it, then it's forgotten. But until you come and confess it and get that thing right with him and get your relationship right with the Lord remembers it, and he's going to keep pouring the coals on you. The Lord can humble you, and he will. And I'm saying that from experience. I'm saying that the Lord knows just where your pressure points are, and it's places that you'd never imagine. But the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When God is being good to you, he is conforming and working on your heart and working on your life to a point to where you'll just break down and tell him the truth and tell him and confess that thing and repent and get it done and get it over with and tell him the truth. And once you do that, everything changes. You're back in fellowship with the Lord, and he fathers you with love, and he loved you before, but he's loving you with that strap. But now that you've told the truth and you got everything lined up, now it's hug time. And the Lord's got good hugs, too. One more. Talking about adultery. And while we're talking about adultery, we said that adultery, we talked about the definitions of adultery. We talked about the results of the sin of adultery, which is terrible. And they never stop. They just keep on getting worse and worse. The forgiveness of adultery. And there's one more. Some examples of adultery. Some examples of adultery. And these are some of the scriptures that I was telling you about that I'm just going to give you when we're done with this at the end here. But we'll just go over the ones and kind of bring to light in your memory what the scriptures say concerning examples of adultery. It was Lot. Lot in Genesis chapter 19, verse 31 through 38. Lot was involved in adultery, you remember? He was a married man, and his wife got changed, and he ended up fornicating with his daughters, remember? And Shechem. Shechem is one, an example of adultery in the scriptures in Genesis chapter 34, verse 2. And then we have Judah. Remember Judah and Tamar? Judah was going through town, and Tamar, he promised Tamar a husband, Judah's son, youngest son. And when he got of age, he didn't give his son to, didn't give her to his son. And Tamar went and dressed up like a harlot, and Judah happened to be coming through and went in unto her. And, he got reprimanded for it and got caught. Genesis chapter 38, verse 1 through 24. But he repented of it as soon as she wrote him a letter. Eli's sons, remember them? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. King David, we just talked about him. Examples of adultery in the scriptures. There's adultery all over the scriptures. By nations, by families, by individuals, by men, by women. Adultery in the scriptures. If it wasn't something to be cautious about and something that's very important and very easy to become involved in and a temptation for that flesh, the Lord wouldn't have said nothing about it. Amnon, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1 through 20. And then, of course, we remember the Samaritan woman that the Lord Jesus Christ talked to at the well, remember? John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. And the Lord told her that, yeah, you've had five husbands. And the one that you got now is you live with five different guys, and the one that you're living with now ain't your husband. He hit her right between the eyes, didn't he? She said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." He was a prophet. He is a prophet. More than that. But she went and told everybody, didn't she? It says that she brought all the men out there. Didn't say the women came. Said the men came because she knew the men, see. But adultery. The scriptures is not foreign to adultery. It is just as much in the trash can, being in the trash can for the sex and sexual perversion as it's ever been. Adultery is all rampant and just as crazy and perverted today as it ever was. Walk out in society and you can see it all over the place. People giving googly eyes to your wife, and even in the churches, people hugging your wife and feeling her and blobbity, blobbity, blabbity, of filthy, nasty stuff going on in the minds and the hearts of everybody. Adultery. We come up to the next one in the trash can to define, we talked about, and that's prostitution. Prostitution. Prostitution's been talked about in the scripture and still is talked about in the scriptures by the Lord. And he talked about that the same as he did adultery, talking about a nation of Israel prostituting on him and going out and being a whore. And in the Bible, the word prostitution is used. It's also used as whoredom, and it's also used as harlotry. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, the Bible says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." This is plain and simple right there. That's what the Lord thinks of it. That's what he said. And that's about all. That's the bottom line. When you just write it all down, everything comes down to it. That's what the Lord says. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel." And if he's talking about Israel and he's talking about, you say, "Well, that was under the law, blah, blah, blah." That's what God thinks. That's what his heart is about when it comes to whores and it comes to prostitution. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, and nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." Shall be no whore. That's what the Lord thinks about it. Now, the Bible talks about some characteristics of prostitution. We'll talk about that first. What are some characteristics of prostitution or whoredom or harlotry in the scriptures? Well, first of all, whoredom and harlotry and prostitution are shameless. Jeremiah chapter 3, let me find my place here. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed." Now refuses to be ashamed. One characteristic of prostitution and harlotry and whoredom is the shamelessness of it. They're not shame. They have no shame. You can't shame a whore. You can't shame a prostitute. It seems like they got another grade of pride, or another level of pride, and another level of like the Lord said, thou hast a whore's forehead. This is hard as a rock and has no shame. Now refuses to be ashamed. One characteristic of prostitution and harlots and whores is that they refuse to be ashamed. Another characteristic of prostitution is that the Bible says they're painted. They're painted. Isn't that amazing? Ezekiel chapter 23. And verse 30 through 40, the Bible talks about that. In Ezekiel chapter 23 and verse 30, I read that to you. It says, I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a-whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Now, of course, we know the Lord's talking to the people of Israel. They're talking to the nation of Israel right now and talking to her about whoring. It says, thou hast walked in the way of thy sister. Therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Thus saith the Lord God, thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn and has had in derision. It containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, with the cup of astonishment and desolation, with the cup of thy sister Samaria. Thou shalt even drink it and suck it out, and thou shalt break the sherds thereof, and pluck off thine own breast, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And as we keep going down through there, listen to what it says. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast forgotten me and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear thou also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. The Lord said moreover unto me, son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, the blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me, they have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and profane my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it, and lo, thus have they done in the midst of mine house. And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent, lo, they came for whom thou did wash thyself, paintest thy eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments. Isn't that peculiar that the Bible, being as old as it is, and the Lord from 40 different authors and 3 different continents being put together, and the Lord writes the same thing, the exact same thing about the exact same, go down there and find your whore, and you'll find exactly what the scriptures say. Whom thou did wash thyself, paintest thine eyes, and deck thyself with ornaments. Prostitution and harlotry. Some characteristics of it is that they're shameless. They are painted. And another one, that's not all. They are enticing. They're enticing. Prostitutes and whores are enticing, the Bible says. Let's look at it. In Proverbs chapter 6, we have in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26, the Bible says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. They're enticing. You know, a whorish woman or a prostitute, they don't go after the bums and go after all the people that ain't got nothing. The Bible says that they hunt for the precious life. They hunt for the precious life. And they're hunters. They hunt for the precious life. It says, by the means, the way, the characteristics of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Just like you hold a piece of bread there and just wave it around, you just got absolutely brought to a piece of bread. They're enticing. The Bible says in also in Proverbs in chapter 9 and over in verse 14, it says, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. See, she don't go after the people that are doing wrong. She goes after the ones that are doing right, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Prostitutes and harlots and whoredom, and of the sexed, of the divided, of the sexual perversion, of harlotry and prostitution are enticing. They make you think, make you do and make you say and make you spend and make you do everything that you would not normally do. Another thing, they roam the streets. The Bible says so. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 11 through 15, she is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. They roam the streets. They're enticing. They are painted. They are shameless. Isn't it amazing that God's word says every bit of this, huh? And another characteristic of prostitution. They're expensive. They're expensive. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 3, the Bible says, whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. I was over in Germany when I was in the military and spent 4 years, a long tour over there, and that was the first place I observed. That's where I got saved, and that was the first place I observed where prostitution is legal. They pay taxes on prostitution. And I couldn't tell you whether they're expensive or not, because I didn't fool with them. But they were standing on the side of the road, and from what I understand and what I heard, that they were protected by the law and everything else. But prostitution, another one in the garbage can. Now, of sexual perversion that we're talking about. Now, that was some characteristics of prostitution and harlotry. Now, let's look at some evils of it. What does the Bible say? And I want to remind you that what we're talking about here is what saith the Lord. What does the Lord say about all these things? You see, everything that we've been talking about having to do with adultery and having to do with prostitution so far, that is nothing new in the Scriptures. It's right before your eyes in society and just as filthy and nasty as a bottom of a juice of a garbage can, and just as filthy and nasty and going on in society, just as prominent as it can be, and the Scriptures are right on target. Some evils of prostitution. In Amos chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that it profanes God's name. The Bible says that pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. It profanes the name of the Lord. Is one evil of prostitution. Another one, that's not all. It's connected with idolatry. It's connected with idolatry. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of the daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. It's connected with idolatry. Harlotry, prostitution, That's not all. We're talking about the evils of it. It brings spiritual error. It brings spiritual error. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 10 through 19, the Bible says, "For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord." They traded the Lord for their whoredoms. The Bible says in verse 11, "Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart." Did you get that? It brings spiritual error. The Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So if you're involved in whoredom and with whores and with prostitutes, they steal the heart. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that hath the people that doth not understand shall fall." It brings spiritual error. You can't be a prostitute and be spiritual. Not under God's spirituality, not under the scriptural spirituality, not by order of the Holy Ghost. There are spirits in prostitution. The Bible just told us that. The spirit of harlotry, the spirit of whoredom, the spirit of prostitution. There are devils and there are spirits, unclean spirits that work in that. But the evils of it, it profanes God's name. It's connected with idolatry, and it brings spiritual error. That's not all. It's the cause of divorce. It's amazing. It would be, out of all these statistics and all these things that they keep, and every year you can go and find out the statistics of suicide and how it's growing or how it's declining and what the age groups are and how they killed themselves and what the percentage of this and a percentage of that. But one thing that you can't find is how many divorces are tallied up in the United States. I'm sure they tally them and get a total, but they don't define them, I don't think, by, this one divorced because of harlotry, because of prostitution. This one divorced because of adultery. This one divorced because of... I bet you'd have a hard time finding that. It causes divorce, and anybody that thinks any differently is a fool. Prostitution and whoredom and harlotry causes divorce. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 8 through 14. The evils of prostitution. It causes divorce. I was in a men's camp for troubled men, and ended up running it right at the end, or for several years, and was a total of about 11 years up there. And you would be surprised, dealing with troubled men day in and day out, 24 hours a day, the things that you hear. And one of the things that was not foreign to troubled men is prostitution, whoredom, and harlotry. And you say drugs and prescription drugs and heroin and all that kind of stuff. Man, harlotry goes right along in that category. And prostitution is something that's just, I mean, it just is. It's part of it. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8 and through 14 says, "And I saw, when for all the cause wherefore backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord. There you go with that forgiveness on that adultery. I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, and thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. You see, the Lord talks about that being married to Israel. We are the bride of Christ, the church is, but our Heavenly Father, the Lord, in the Old Testament, talks about being married to Israel. And when they would go a-whoring to other gods and have stones that they worship and trees that they worship, the Lord called them a prostitute and called them whores. And he was comparing them to what whores and prostitutes in the flesh do, using it symbolically. The evils of it. It profanes God's name. It's connected with idolatry. It brings spiritual error. It is a cause of divorce. And we'll stop right there and continue this study. We've got quite a bit more to talk about and see in the scriptures when it comes to prostitutes and comes to whoredom and harlotry, what the Bible says. Today we've talked about some characteristics of it, that it's shameless and that they're painted and they're enticing and they roam the streets and they're expensive. And perhaps you knew all this stuff, but you probably never seen it in the scriptures. Did you know that the Bible talked about all that? And then we've seen some evils of it. It profanes God's name. It's connected with idolatry. It brings spiritual error, and it causes divorce. Some other things that we're going to talk about and bring to our attention concerning prostitution is the prohibitions of it concerning it. What the Bible says about it being prohibited. Then we're going to talk about some Bible examples of prostitution. And we're going to see some figures of what the Lord used figuratively in the scriptures concerning prostitution and harlotry and whoredom. Okay? So like I told you, we're going to go down through here and define these, and I'm not the best at defining them and doing all that, but the Bible never fails. It never fails us. And we've been through the scriptures, and we see what the Bible's saying about this stuff. And what we're talking about is the sexual love and sexual perversion. And sexual perversion is what we're on right now. Our question, what about it? What about it? Well, we're finding out about it. And sexual perversion among the divided. Sexual perversion among the sexed, male and female, man and woman. What's going on with this sexual perversion? Well, we see adultery going on, and we see prostitution going on among the divided. You see how this sex got mixed up, this word sex and sexual and sexuality and blabbity blabbity, and how it got all perverted and the things that's come about it? And like I said, we'll go into it next time. Let me give you these scriptures for today. The first one is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Then Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 30 through 40. And then Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26. And chapter 9, verse 14 through 18. And then Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 11 through 15. And then we've seen Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3. Amos chapter 2, verse 7. Exodus chapter 34, verse 15 and 16. Hosea chapter 4, verse 10 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8 through 14. And that'll be the ones that we've seen today, that we've talked about today in the Lord's Word. Praise the Lord for His Word and for truth. Like I said, next recording, we're going to go back into it, and we're going to see some more things having to do, or some more truths having to do with prostitution, beginning with the prohibitions concerning it and what the Bible has to say about that. So until then, I wish you a wonderful evening, and we'll get through this. And I'm all ready to go on to the next question, aren't you? I've heard enough of this trash can. But we need to hear it. We need to see what the Bible says. And if you've had anything to do with any of this, and God the Holy Ghost is talking to you about these things, do exactly what the Scriptures say. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means you too. That means me, and that means you. Just confess it to the Lord in private, and it'll be done. God bless you. It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.